Thank you so much, Sam, for being here this morning. It was when I was first arrived at this church, Sam and her brother Cody sang at their great aunt Glenda Wood's funeral, and I just loved their voices. And so when it came time to need to recruit people to sing, Sam and Cody came to my head with a hope that they would come and bless us with their voices. And so, Sam, so good that you could be here, and can't wait until you and Cody can come and do a duet for us. But with that, I invite us to go to God in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ooh, I am stumbling on my words today. But I have to tell you, every year at this time, we get to hear the birth story of Jesus. And this morning, I wanted to tell you the most fascinating part of the story of Kylie's birth. Fascinating might not be the right word, but the most dramatic part of the story. So Kylie was a baby who had no desire to come into this world. She was quite comfortable where she was, and there was no coming out. And so it finally came time that the doctor said, we're going to need to induce you. This baby isn't budging. And so at the time, we had two dogs, what I call big dog and little dog. And big dog and little dog got dropped off at grandma's house with the expectation that we were going to go to the hospital and have a baby. But not only were we waiting past due date for Kylie to get here since she didn't want to budge, but then being in Murrieta and a hospital that only had a couple of labor and delivery rooms, we then had to wait a few days for a bed to become available to induce pregnancy. And so while we were waiting, dogs were at grandma's house, and one day we decided we would go visit the dogs and see how they were doing and visit grandma, since we were just kind of stuck in this waiting pattern. And so we went over and we visited grandma and we visited the dogs and we had a good time, and then it was time to go. And as we were leaving, we go out the door closes behind us, and we're not more than a few steps beyond the door when we all of a sudden hear the dogs fighting. They were not happy that we had come to visit and we had left. Well, it comes to be that right by the front door, Grandma had a framed mirror leaning up against the steps. And in their tussle, the dogs had rolled into the mirror and had shattered it. And so upon leaving, we hear the dogs, we hear shattering glass, and then we hear blood-curdling screams of Grandma. So of course, we rushed right back inside, and what do we find? But we find this bloody mess. Because what had happened when they had rolled into the mirror and shattered the mirror, it had sliced open the nose of Big Dog. So what do? We quickly scoop up Big Dog. Well, I didn't. I was past 9 months pregnant. But he scooped up Big Dog, and into the car we go to immediately take Big Dog to the vet. And so I sat in the back seat with Big Dog, trying to keep a towel on Big Dog's nose to try to control the bleeding. But Big Dog did not want to have anything on that cut open nose and was fighting me the whole time. And so blood was going everywhere. Isn't this a pretty picture that I'm telling on this Advent story? And so we get to the vet and we come inside, and what do they immediately see? But they see me, past 9 months pregnant, completely covered in blood. You have never seen a vet give you a room for a dog as fast as they did that day. So we left Big Dog there, and they were kind enough to say that they would keep Big Dog there at the vet until we got home from the hospital to prevent any more scuffles or problems. But here we finally get home after this anxious day, and dramatic to say the least. And what do I have left of this day? But unfortunately, I had been wearing a white t-shirt that was from a church event that we'd been leading, and my white shirt was completely red. And it had been long enough since it happened that the blood on it was completely dried, and I was ready to just kiss this shirt goodbye. I said, there is no saving this shirt. It is blood stained. But decided that, you know, we gotta at least take a chance. And so out the OxyClean came, soak the shirt into the wash, And guess what? Every single bit of blood on that shirt came off. I called it a miraculous moment because I was ready for that shirt to be gone. But OxiClean, I have to tell you, is a magical wonder of a stain remover. 2 days later, Kylie did enter this world in no less dramatic of a fashion than things had already been. But dramatic was not my plan for how Kylie was going to come into this world. Emergency vet visits, bloody shirts, broken glass was not my plan. But this morning I remember that births that are not in the plan has me in good company with Mary and Joseph. For how Jesus came into this world was definitely not their birth plan either. Not in the plan begins in our scripture this morning with the annunciation or the announcement of the birth of Jesus. In Luke, we hear Mary's announcement through the angel, but here in Matthew, we hear Joseph's side of the story. Joseph, who was an upright and righteous man, Joseph, who was a good man, that suddenly gets glass-shattering news that his fiance, who he was betrothed to, within contract with, was pregnant, and it definitely was not his. The story tells us that being righteous and upright and a good man, he was willing to do the good and upright thing that would preserve Mary and keep her having as much face as possible, that he would willingly divorce her and be able to move on to what would seem like a better plan in his mind. But the angel and God have different plans for Joseph. The angel, through God's words, says, "Trust me, trust Mary, for this is not your plan, but this is God's plan." Joseph chooses to trust God and to trust Mary, and thus we get the story we have. Trust can be hard. Trust, like with Joseph, asks us to put aside what we feel and oftentimes what we see or believe, and to put our faith in God or another person, believing that they have our best interests at heart. Trust. Trust in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worry in a year of drought and never fails to bring fruit." Trust in God is like a stream of saving water. Now, speaking of saving, let's get back to the story, shall we? Now, Joseph, as part of the plan outside of his control, is also told what to name the baby. Surprise, not only are you having a baby, but you don't get to pick the name. He was told to call him Jesus. But actually, really, if we're being honest here, he's not told to call him Jesus. Now, is he, huh, Uncle Bill? He's told to call him, in Hebrew, Yeshua. But we have altered our name into a name that we understand better than the Hebrew, the translated name. Yeshua, to save or deliver. His name embodies his role, to deliver us. Now, not deliver like Amazon. Order it today and it will arrive tomorrow unless it's the heart of Christmas season. But delivery being bigger than anything we could order, and more like a stream of water that continues to supply us, nourish us, and care for us, like the prophet Jeremiah wrote so well. like the OxyClean that washed my shirt clean, like the pitcher of water that cleaned Miss Becky's heart. Jesus was sent to wash us of our sins, leaving no trace and giving us a clean heart. Now, over the last months, we've been relearning to wash our hands, haven't we? Make sure to use soap and water, 20 seconds at a minimum. Sing happy birthday if you have to, or the doxology as we in the church encourage, to kill the germs and to prevent the spread of virus, right? It's like we've gone back to kindergarten, learning the basics, wash your hands over and over and over again. It seems so simple. It seems so simple. Your hands get dirty, you touch something, you're gonna be handling food, you've used the bathroom, wash your hands and make them clean. But we know within the whole scope of things, washing our hands is just a part of the solution. It's just one of the many things that we need to be doing to care for and to protect one another's and to keep ourselves safe. Just like Jesus' role as Savior is just part of the story of who he is. Which takes me back to the story. Besides Jesus' name being altered into our English vision, we've altered the nativity picture. Have you noticed it? Ours is this picturesque, decorative piece with a romanticized story, right? We haven't changed the story. I won't accuse us of that. But we oftentimes make it look like a Hollywood movie scene. Mary gleaming and beaming on Christmas morning, makeup perfect, not a drop of sweat, not a hair out of place, with an orderly stable around her, and even so often the perfect stream of light coming in from the window right on to the manger, right? And what do we have with Joseph? The proud father looking over her shoulder, doting on his new son that he is so proud of, not a worry upon his face. But remember, we're talking about a story that was not according to plan. It was a long and hard donkey ride. It was closed doors. It was a dirty stable. It was animals. It was no family support and definitely no epidural. God bless Mary with those labor pains. This was anything but a Kodak moment of perfection and picturesque quality. Now, I am the first to admit that my brain does look to this reality. The nativity set that I set up, the way that I picture it in my head. But like this story, I was thinking about that Kodak moment after birth. You know, the ones that you see where mom's hair's all perfect and it's dreamy in the hospital room with this perfect new little baby. But let me tell you, an overnight labor, 3 hours of pushing, a night of anxiety where the baby's blood pressure kept dropping, made it a messy hair and ghostly pale scene to be looking on as I saw that new baby. Perfect pictures, though, at that point didn't matter to me. The baby was all that mattered. P.S., when I went into labor with Aiden, before saying I was in later, I made sure to take a shower and get my hair nice, thinking maybe I could get better pictures with him. Ha, right? But it's not about me. The nativity scene, right? It's reality. It's chaotic. It's messy. It's anxiety-filled. It's loud. It's beyond anything anyone on earth could have imagined. This is what makes it the Christmas story. It is our messy, anxious, loud, dramatic, realistic story that God stepped into to create order and opportunity and a way through. God didn't step in because we had everything together and perfect and the way it should be. God stepped in because we were messy and needing help. And God brought deliverance from the pains and struggles of this world and brought pure and unconditional love for us. If we alter the picture of Christmas morning, we are simply setting ourselves up for disappointment, as Christ will be placed on a shelf to be if Christ is placed on a shelf to be admired for his picturesque display instead of being in the thick of life and mess with us, he will miss his calling and purpose. With us is where Christ was sent to be, Emmanuel, as Sam so beautifully sung. So how in these final weeks of preparation do we put aside the sought-after, picture-perfect Christmas morning and the expectation of everything the way we want it and plan for, and prepare for a messy, unexpected, yet perfect entrance of our Savior, who comes in the mess to bring peace and joy? 2020 most likely will be disappointment if we compare it to years past. After all, the comparison is the thief of joy. The gatherings, the meals, the family time, and even the worship we engage in will be different and not ideal. It will be smaller, more digital, toned down, and quite possibly out of our control. What does this mean? It's most likely the closest we will be to the biblical story of chaos with Christ's entrance. But we can trust in God's plan. We can await the arrival of our Savior in God's way and find Emmanuel, that God is with us now more than ever as we go through this messy time. So let us pray and invite God to lead the way and to put our trust in what God has in store. Emmanuel, you came into a messy world in the messiest of ways, not for your sake, but for ours. Help us in the days and weeks ahead to focus not on the mess and the misses, but on the one who comes in the midst of our mess to bring salvation to all who welcome it. Help us to trust you and your plan, to love you and to be loved by you. Amen.